Warp Pipe Wednesday.
Hey yo, what's up?
Russ, you're back from California. How was it, buddy?
Dude, I was there for almost 2 weeks. I think we were there for 11 days, I want to say, the trip was. Definitely exhausting. I feel like that was a long vacation. And then the last day was full, just all traveling. We left at 10 a.m. The flight was at 10 a.m. We got up earlier, obviously, to get to the airport. And we didn't walk into the door till 10 p.m.
Jeez, man.
It was like traffic on the way home. I was like, oh, I just want to be home. So thank God I had today off to kind of recover. I go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Going back that immediately after would have been killer.
So I, let me tell you what I did. So last week I asked my boss, hey, can I take Monday off? You know, we're doing an impromptu little beach trip. My family is down there. We're going to go see him. I was off Friday because I'm off every Friday. So I was going to go Friday morning and be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And he said, well, why don't you just take off Tuesday too? And I was like, I don't know. I really need 4 days to do my job well. Cause I currently, for another couple of weeks anyway, do lawn maintenance for a church. And it's like three city blocks wide, this church property that I have to maintain. So it's pretty big. I got like 20,000 steps in the other day. Anyway, Tuesday at 8:45, I leave the Isle of Palms, which is down in Charleston, drive home. I get home at like 11:55, like 5 minutes till midnight.
Yeah.
Take my dog to pee. I lay down. I put Superbad on. I fall asleep within like 5 minutes. Get up, go to work the next day. I get there at 7:30 and I didn't stop working until 8 p.m. because I was probably 5 or 10 minutes after. Because my wife wasn't home yet. So I was like, I'm just going to work as long as it's bright out. So that was Wednesday. And then today I worked like 7:45 to like 5:15, like 10 after five or something. I got 4 days worth of work done in 2 days. I was flying.
Jeez.
Yeah.
My wife was asking, she's like, does he wear sunscreen? I was like, well, I know he has a long sleeve shirt on. I think he wears a hat, but
yeah, I wear a big hat like Raiden.
Okay.
So it's like a big straw hat. I look ridiculous. And I also wear like it's like a blue and black army bandana. If I lived in Los Angeles, the Bloods would probably shoot at me because they'd think I was a Crypt or vice versa, whichever. I don't know who has blue and who has red, but
yeah.
And I put sunscreen on my face, but nowhere else really. So,
okay. I mean, so being out in California, that was very adamant about having sunscreen on because I was like, the last thing that I want to do is get sunburned or even,
do you get burnt easy? Skin.
Yeah. I have part Irish in me, so I do burn easily.
I don't know if you can tell. I get tan really easy. So I was being at the beach all week. I'm like nice and tan. My wife, on the other hand, she's like white as a ghost. So,
right. I mean, yeah, I just want to be adamant about that. So, but the first part of the trip, we flew into San Francisco to go hang out with my wife's sister. And she just had a baby 2 months ago. So she was home from work. We're like, well, hang out. It's nice. All of San Francisco is just covered in fog. We were there for like 3 days, just fog.
Really?
Everywhere. Like, couldn't see blue skies or there's what? Just like you come around the corner, like driving to where the beach is and it should open up to this beautiful scene. And it's just like fog everywhere. Silent Hill.
That's strange. They must have had, for all those conspiracy theorists out there, they must have had the weather machine working against you guys.
So that wasn't great, but we did enjoy hanging out there and we didn't get to go last time. So we went this time. There's a Taco Bell that's on the beach there.
That's cool.
They have a nice little patio that overlooks the water. So we sat out there, had some tacos. It was pretty neat. And from there, we ended up going to rent a car and we drove south for about 6.5 hours to reach Anaheim.
Gotcha.
Because our hotel was in Disneyland. And so Steph was like, well, while we're here, let's do a day at Disney.
Nice.
Ended up going to the park. We were on a Disney hotel, so we were also able to just walk right to, let's see, it's called Downtown Disney. I have to think, because in Florida, it's called Disney Springs.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why they named it different, but it's downtown. So Downtown Disney, you don't need like a ticket to get in. It's just restaurants and shops, but you can walk through it and then get into the park for Disneyland.
Hmm.
And we only did Disneyland because there's Disneyland and then California Adventure is the other park, just the two parks in Disney land in California there. So we just did the one side, and we got there. We didn't get there for rope drop, but we got there fairly early. And we got Gwen on like the merry-go-round, and we thought, hey, maybe we'll take her on they're called dark rides, where you get on a moving, I don't know, whatever you would call it, and it goes through in the dark and stuff pops out at you. But she was terrified.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Like, we were doing, I think, Peter Pan. We did, what was another one we did? Roger Rabbit, maybe. There was a few, and she was just so scared. Pinocchio was one where I'm like, this, I mean, for a small child, yeah, it's like you're going through and then it's like a lot of lights and then like something's popping out and then they're saying things. So I'm like, it's a lot to take in, like,
right,
with your senses.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's kind of dial back those. And we did take her back to the hotel to do a nap and went in the pool and then went back to Disney at night for like a little bit, because then I went to like the Star Wars area is over there. And we got some pictures. We paid for like the photo pass. So anywhere there was a Disney photographer, you can jump over there and they'll take your photo.
Gotcha.
So I was like, let's get a couple photos in Star Wars. And we got some in front of the what is it? It's like, I guess it's the opening of the park where they have a nice grass field with the building. I don't think we got any. Oh, we got one in front of the castle. The castle is, if you haven't been, it's quite smaller than Disney World's castle.
Gotcha. So it's not as impressive.
Right. Like, if you go to Disney World first and then you go to Disneyland, you're kind of underwhelmed. But if you are just so used to Disneyland's castle and go to Disney World, you might be like, whoa, like, what the heck?
I've only seen Disneyland in passing on the highway, because, you know, you can see it from like the highway when you're driving
right
south in California.
Yeah. But I will say we had so we were there for 2 days for the hotel. And the second day when we were checking out or whatever, you're still allowed to use the pools for the rest of the day. So we check out 11, but we can still stay at the pool and they'll hold our luggage like elsewhere. Did that, made a pool day. And they had quite a few different pools, and they had a cool water slide that looked like the monorail.
Oh, nice.
So that was fun. We went in there. And then from there, we had to pick up our second rental car to drive up to Pasadena. So we had to head back up.
And that's up where the coast. Convention was at, right? Pasadena, little lady from right. Pasadena.
That's right. So heading out that way, getting ready for the SoCal Gaming Expo was in Pasadena. And I will say the drive down through Anaheim while we were going was like nothing. It's just farmland, all farms. I did want to stop, but we didn't. There was a farm. They had a bunch of fresh fruit, vegetables, but they were promoting garlic ice cream.
Oh, wow.
And I was kind of interested to try it.
Snacky snack time.
Yeah, it would have been cool. I was like, all right, no, whatever. But we got to the new hotel. And Friday, we went to the convention to kind of pick up our passes. I got to see Riff, and he was kind of giving me the tour because the convention was essentially Saturday, Sunday. They weren't open. You can get passes, and that's it on Friday. But since I was a guest of the show, I was allowed to go on the floor. And
I meant to text him to see how it went. I'm sure he was crazy busy that weekend.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten a few messages here and there, but he was like super busy. He sent me some teaser stuff of them setting up. They had a half pipe in the convention, so skaters were skating on that. So he was sending me a few videos of that. But we only hung out maybe for an hour at the convention and ended up going back to the hotel. And then we had missed out. Steph, I guess, didn't know. Like, I'm like, we could have went back and just hung out because we have passes.
Right.
They were doing Tetris World Championship finals.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So they were doing qualification matches and stuff on Friday. And on Friday, Logan Paul ended up showing up.
Oh, did you see him?
I didn't get to see him because I wasn't there, but I saw John Riggs post it about it. And I guess David Apuzzo told me Logan Paul was talking about it, or maybe he wasn't talking about it, but it was on wrestling. Like they were saying, oh, he's not here because he's doing a Tetris thing. He's in a Tetris tournament.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was like, oh, okay. But it wasn't announced. Like they didn't want to announce he was showing up. He just showed up, did his Tetris thing and like left like after
gotcha.
40 minutes or whatever.
You can do that when you're other than Paul. That.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Saturday, the convention opened. We got in there early and walked the floor. Steph hung out for a few hours with the baby and then took her back to the hotel. So then it was kind of on my own, but I did end up meeting up with Keith, the retro car collector. So yep. He's from Canada and he was coming out. We had actually met earlier in the week because he was staying at a hotel that was close to Disneyland. So we actually met up for ice cream at Disneyland.
He came a long way.
Yeah, he, I don't know how far a drive it was from the airport.
I was about to say, did he drive from Canada? That's crazy.
I think he said he was from Calgary.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then he flew in from wherever the airport was. And I think he might be still there, technically. I think he was staying a week after I came home.
Oh, wow.
I want to say so.
Wonder really what he does for a living.
He did mention it, and I forgot. I could have sworn it was something with, like, it's definitely hard work, like oil rigs or, like, working at a farm or, like, something.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Crazy. It wasn't like I work at Best Buy or like.
Right. He does manual labor.
He does. Yeah. Manual hard labor. So props to him for sure.
Hardworking man. I like it.
But yeah, we met up and we were just cruising around. So we were both kind of filming videos. So I'll probably end up in some of his videos and me. And obviously I met Mort finally in person.
Oh, you weren't here when Mort was in South Carolina, were you?
Right. No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Mort's cool. I like Mort a lot.
So we chatted, and right across from him was John Riggs. So I was chatting with John Riggs, and he was there with his wife and daughter. So they were talking to the baby and holding the baby and enjoying Gwen. And yeah, it was a good time. A lot of people came up to me, said they listened to the podcast or like watch my stuff. And I was showing them pictures. Like they're like, oh, show them your car. So I was showing people, this is the car I drive. You know, I couldn't make it out here because obviously it's across the entire country.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll show you guys some of the pickups that I got briefly. I might just do a full pickup video on my channel. But I did pick up John Riggs has a book with cereal that he talks about called Nostalgios.
I love cereal.
Nostalgios. So he goes through all the cereals in that. And this was probably one of the coolest things I picked up. This is a bootleg Mario, and he is a cowboy, and he comes with a handgun that's in there.
Mario with a gun. He looks like one of the Marios you could get off of Mario Odyssey, you know, like the little outfits.
True. What's funny is because I have a sticker sheet and it has Mario with a gun and you like never see that. So that's what made me want to pick it up. And it was only $10.
Oh, is that from Nintendo Power issue 1? The sticker book.
Oh, the sticker. Maybe it could be. I mean, I got the sticker sheet loose. So, and then I did get these sweet pins. It's let's see. The company is BB Cree 8, I guess.
Weird.
BB Cree 8. So he made a Game & Watch pin, and it has a lenticular screen.
That's cool.
You move it. You can see it like change from the start screen to the end screen. So I got the Mario one and he had a Zelda one as well in a game.
Oh, I just now got his name. So it's like BB-8 from Star Wars.
Okay.
But you put the Cree in front of it, and it's create. BB create. Oh,
BB create. I dig it.
Yeah, I figured it out.
Oh, I did get this from John Riggs as well. He's doing air fresheners. That's so I ended up getting a Star Tropics one, and it's called Star Tropical.
That's amazing. What a genius idea.
I did pick up
a Does it new smell good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like ocean breeze or what have you.
I want to smell like pineapples.
I don't know if you heard of this game. I picked up a new Nintendo game this guy was showcasing at the show. This one's called Copper Jacket.
It's like Full Metal Jacket.
So it's a mix between, I would say, Akira Warriors and Contra. I guess John Riggs kind of reviewed it on his channel. I was playing it at the show. It's fairly simple, and all the power-ups are basically Contra power-ups, right? You get the spread shot, you get a flame thing, you get Rapid. But he had it complete in box, and it was only $30. And I was like, dude, $30 for a box NES game?
Take it.
And it's new. I'll take it. Yeah. So I was happy to grab that. And then I had sent you this picture because you said you had these before you reviewed them on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And these were only $10. They're like Mario. It says easy to paint decoration, color pops. So it shows it on the front, but on the back, you can see what they look like. They're clear. You got a Koopa Trooper, a Cheep Cheep Fish, and a star. And you paint them, and then it's kind of, I guess, like a decoration you can hang in your room, essentially.
I was looking to see if I could find mine, but yeah, I did a whole, I did, for those of you that want to see more on that, I did a whole Nintendo Oddities video where we actually paint them. And I think I even mailed some to some viewers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he had another set with some of the other characters, but I was like, I only need one. $10, why not pick that up?
It's an oddity.
What else do you get? Nintendo. Oh, and I did get
these are here. Sorry.
I got 3 Famicom games.
Sweet.
No clue how they play. This one looks like a Western one with some guy with a gun. I don't know, it was $6, I think. The guy at the booth was explaining to me kind of what they were, so I was like, okay. This one was $10. It has an ape on it, like King Kong, so I think it's That's a King Kong sick. Game. And then this one is called Flappy. It was also $10, and it looked like a
cute. The original Flappy Bird. The
original Flappy Bird. So I'm excited to play that, because I have my buddy Ernie modded my Famicom, so it's AV modded. And I only had 2 games. I had Mario 1 and Mario 3, and I went to play them. I'm like, it's literally the same game. It's not even in Japanese. It says Super Mario, like English, everything.
So that's
like,
hilarious, right?
I mean, other than getting the games to be like, cool. So I was like, let me get some games that work. You know what
you
NES. Need?
You know what you needed, Russ? Kid Dracula.
Yeah. I think that's an expensive one, though.
And it's not. I have 2 copies of it.
Oh, okay.
One of them is in a, I don't remember what game I put it in, but it was a game, it was an NES game that had a Famicom adapter, so I took it out of the Famicom cart and put it in the NES game so I could put it in, right into my NES, but then I found another copy, and it's still in the Famicom container somewhere.
Kid here. Dracula, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Kid Dracula, it's great.
I did get these stickers and a patch. I don't know the artist's name, so if you do my pickup video that hopefully I shoot and put out, you'll be able to see it. But he did a mashup with Garfield and Mario, so this is a patch for that right there.
That reminds me of this Garfield thing that came out in cereal a long time ago that goes on your spokes. I love that.
So he's got one where he's running with a plate of lasagna.
That's amazing.
So I was like, all right, let me support this guy. And he had a few like big 3D models. I sent you a picture. I don't have them here, but I got some dope Nintendo sweatpants.
Yeah, Nintendo Power.
They're blue, and they have the Nintendo Power symbol on the side of it. And that artist was, he had white ones as well, and then he had really sick replicas of the Mario statue.
Yeah.
I think I can pull up a
picture. Yeah, those looked legit.
And I'm going to hope I'll have a video on on my channel of doing, they had a full clothing display there, but there's the pants.
Look
I
at
had.
Them pants. Look at them shoes. Look at that shirt. Look at that body. Look at that hat.
Got the whole outfit there. I got that. And I do have some other, a sick shirt, but I'm washing it. I don't think I took a picture of it.
You wash your clothes?
I do.
Weird.
Did I take a picture of it? I don't think I did. It's of Bionic Commando, and the girl that does it, it's like a full print, and she kind of reverse, and what's it like UV reverse image? It, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but yeah, she
I know. I know what you're talking about. It's like it's almost like when you take a picture and you get the negative. It's like a negative.
Yeah, I don't think I have any pictures I took of it, but she had a couple other. She had Ninja Gaiden 2. She had Castlevania. I chose Bionic Commando because I had recently beaten that, and I was like, "That's pretty sweet." And you don't see like really Bionic Commando merch. I would say you
Bionic Commando is such a great NES game.
More likely you see the other ones. And it was, I think it was $40 for the shirt. So I was like, "All right, that's not terrible." Let's see, I took three pictures there, and you can kind of see the shirts in this. So if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. And he also did the replica of the statues that I was talking about here, but.
Oh yeah.
You can see the pants and the kind of shirts hanging up, and he has a whole bunch of replica statues. Now these statues, the big ones were fiberglass and everything. He was asking $1,200 for them. Which so
the only thing I don't like about the fact that those exist is somebody somewhere is going to get a hold of one of those thing and it's legitimate old school.
Maybe. I mean, that's just, I guess the, you have to be
with cookie crumbles
where the cookie crumbles. Yeah. He said, cause again, the other statues are, geez, what are they? 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Maybe. And there's X amount of them, right? A finite amount of them, maybe 40. I don't know. He gave me a number. He knew the whole logistics of it. And some of them are in bad condition. And again, they cost probably like $3,000, right? To get one.
So basically you can get a knockoff from him for half price.
For half price. And I feel like it's more manageable to fit into a game room, right? You can fit that on the shelf behind your couch or
yeah,
what have you. And they're very high quality. I thought they were 3D prints, but he said, no, he makes a mold. And then fiberglasses it,
but
essentially.
Yeah, not trying to hate on the guy, but the big thing for me is if I'm going to spend money on something like that, I want
you want an like original original one.
Yeah.
Well, he has the smaller ones that are not. They're like chrome, whatever.
Yeah, so those are cool. They look like trophies. Yeah, they would be a good trophy for like a championship or something. You did.
But yeah, they had a whole cool section where it was on one side of the room, it was all the Nintendo Power memorabilia, like the, what would you call it? The sheets of like them drawing the images.
Yeah.
Mapping it out. And they're showing, here's the finished cover.
That's cool.
Some of the props, like the shoes from Track and Field, the Mega Man clay sculptures,
yep,
the Dracula head.
Yep.
And then on the other side of that was all the clothes.
Oh, wow.
The players' jackets, the promotional items from Nintendo World Championship.
That's really cool.
Virtual Boy stuff. They had a Killer Instinct leather vest.
Wow.
It was pretty awesome.
I'm surprised Riff wasn't wearing that.
So I'm doing a full video on that. That might be my first video out because it'll be fairly short. But I was talking to the guy and it was cool. They had track suits, like race car track suits that had like Nintendo Wii and like Mario Kart.
That's cool.
Like, wow. And I've never seen that at a convention before, so it was cool to see.
Sounds like they did some good work on that convention.
Yeah. And I had chatted with Chris, the co-owner, the day before we left on how the convention went and little details like that. And they said, you know, it was pretty well received. And it definitely is such a change from the prior year. I didn't get to go last year, but I guess last year Jay owned it from the Game Chasers.
And so have you been when Jay owned it before previously?
No, like I didn't even know about this show, because I think the show has been going since maybe, I think Chris said 2017, 2018, maybe.
Gotcha.
Because it was, because it was owned by someone else.
Right.
And then it changed hands again. And then Jay maybe got it in 2019, I think. And then it
did Gamester 81 start that?
I don't think he did.
Okay.
And I thought it was just weird that Jay owned it because Jay lives in Texas. And
yeah, I always thought that was strange too, that Jay owned it, because it didn't make sense location wise. But I'm sure he was happy to let go of it. And I'm sure Riff was happy to be right, a part of it.
Because now the owners are Riff and Ricky.
It makes so much sense, right?
And Chris and Lance. So Chris and Lance are originally from Connecticut, so I know them. And they co-own Retro World Expo, which is the expo here in Connecticut.
Right.
With I think maybe some other partners. So it was cool that for the West Coast that it went to, you know, Riff and Ricky being so big involved in the retro game community back then and now. So I feel like it has a credibility, like, oh, okay, this con is in great hands. We know it's going to be good for the retro. And there was a ton of retro video game vendors at this too. And people did really well. He said some of the booths said that, you know, they sold tons of product.
Yeah.
So more power to them. You know, hopefully they'll come back with suggestions. You know, they're going to send out a survey. What do you think you can improve on?
Right.
I had told them my suggestions were there was really no place to sit and eat. They had a little inside food area that were selling like hamburgers, chicken tenders, and all that.
But no tables food. Like set up for.
Right. They had some like, chairs. Because,
you know, you've been to Southeast Game Exchange before, like around their food area, there's probably like 6, 7, 8, 9 tables around.
Yes. Yeah.
That people could kind of sit and come and go. Because I remember sitting there with Eric and Jared a couple years ago.
Because I think he said they did have kind of an area, but it kind of got absorbed because they ended up setting up the half pipe in there and had to rope that off. And then right. There was a stage where the band was playing and they had chairs there. So that's where we kind of sat to eat. But I suggested, I was like, dude, you need, it's Southern California, should have food trucks like yeah. all outside. Like,
that's a, yeah. Killing.
So they said they had one, but it had canceled last minute. So hopefully next year they can bring in on that. But overall, pretty fun con. We went back Sunday morning as well. I'll dive in quickly. I did end up going Sunday morning to the swap meet.
What was that like in Cali? Was it crazy? Did you find some wild stuff?
We were trying to coordinate. So it was me and Keith were going together. We had already coordinated that, but we didn't know which swap meet to go to because we're talking to Mort. We're talking to Riff. They're telling us different things. And then I met Retro Riff, Rick out there.
Retro Riff. That should be their name together when they get married.
Retro Rick, and he is like, dude, we're going tomorrow. And I was like, all right, we'll meet up with you. And it took forever for him to get back to me to which one they were going. So we ended up at the Rose Bowl, which was in Pasadena. So it was like 10 minutes away from where I was staying. So I was like, that's perfect. You paid $20 to get in early, right? That gets you in at 5 a.m. up until I want to say 9:30. And then it's like $15 or $10 after that.
Dang, it costs just to get in.
So Retro
Browsing ain't free.
Retro Rick was like, let's meet at 7:30. He showed up late.
Retro Riff.
So
blowing it.
Me and Keith were walking around a little bit. There's so many clothes there. So the first 20 minutes we're just looking at clothes. Rick finally came, so then we started exploring a little bit more. This place is huge. Like, it would take us hours to go through.
It's really big.
Everything. But we ended up picking up a few things. I only got two things. And essentially, it wasn't a deal because, again, you had to pay $20 to get in. But I'll be putting a video together that I put what I got in here. I don't know if I want to make it spoiler.
No, yeah, don't show it yet. I want to be surprised.
All right. So I picked up two things. I think Keith got maybe one thing. And Retro Rick picked up a few things. But we were recording, too. So I'll probably be on Retro Rick's channel for some highlights on what there, but we found some neat stuff. And then there was a lot of, like, you know, rugs, sculptures. There was like those old record players with the horn. I don't know how would you describe that as.
Yeah, like a phonograph. I don't
phonograph
know.
Phonograph ones. I
could be making that up.
There was some cool signs. Like there was a big metal like Burger King sign that was probably at a store. And I ended up finding at one booth a sweet video recorder.
Camera?
A camera, or otherwise known as a camera. But I guess it's...
What is this futuristic fangled video recorder you speak of, Russ?
I guess it was the one that was used in Back to the Future.
Oh, what?
Like, not the actual one, but, like, the model, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was the model that was used in the movie, essentially. And it was in the case and everything, and the guy only wanted $40 for it.
Maybe it was Marty McFly's himself, you don't know.
But then, funny enough, if we had Google searched, because my friend Tom had told me, he's like, oh, if you're in the area, literally like 5 minutes from the swap meet, you can go visit Doc Brown's house that was in the Back to the Future movie.
There it is. Wow.
So we went there, got a few videos, a couple pictures, and enjoyed it there. Other than that, after that long weekend, that was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that Monday morning, we left the hotel at, I think, 6 a.m., 6:30 maybe, and we had to drive back down the coast for about 40 minutes, and we ended up going to Universal Studios to go to Super Nintendo Land.
So lucky, Russ. You do all the fun stuff.
Super Nintendo Land or Super Nintendo World? I think it's World.
It should have called it Super Mario World.
I got the bag here.
Super Nintendo World.
So the key to that is you need to buy the early access pass to get into the park early so you can get into Nintendo World earlier. Because it just fills up so fast, and you need to get a reservation for Toad's Cafe, and that sells out quickly because it's small and everyone obviously wants to do it. So if you're not there early enough, you don't get a seat. The total difference of Universal Studios Hollywood versus Florida is it's built into a mountain.
Weird.
So the first level is like Harry Potter, some Minion stuff. Maybe Transformers, I can't really remember. And then you have to take 4 escalators down. Like, you go down an escalator, get off, go down an escalator, and you finally get to the bottom floor, and that's where Jurassic Park stuff is, that's where Nintendo World is, and a few other stuff. But it's definitely annoying having a child, because we had to take Gwen out of the stroller, because you can't have her on the escalator in the stroller, so I have to hold her, and then we're holding the stroller on the escalator. So that was all a pain. We didn't know about that. And then because Super Nintendo World is so small, they don't allow strollers in there either.
Oh.
So you have to park the stroller out and then carry either the baby in the carrier or like out of it. So we got there, waited in line for the Super Mario Kart ride, and we couldn't obviously go together. So like Steph went first. I got a ticket because I was with the baby. And then she met me, and then I just handed in my ticket, and I could skip the line essentially and do it. But have you seen anything on the ride, or like how would
I? No, I haven't looked into it at all, because there's no reason to, because I'm not going to be able to go anytime soon.
Okay. Yeah. I tried to keep it spoiler free for myself. I haven't watched much videos of what was happening. So
yeah,
it's pretty sweet, even with the ride, like queue line going in, where you're almost going through different worlds. Like you start off going through one of the castle gates, and then you come around the corner and it looks like Yoshi's Island with like that cartoony.
Oh, that's cool.
And they have like screens where you'll see Yoshi run through, and then you get up and it's like Bowser's castle, and there's a big sculpture of him, and you're going down the hallway, and then you start seeing like the trophies that you would get in Mario Kart. So they've done a great job with all that stuff.
The immersion.
Yeah. And so you get into the ride, it sits 4 people, and you wear this little like Mario hat where it it tightens onto your head, essentially. I got a photo.
Did you get raccoon powers when you wore it?
I look pretty silly.
Oh, that looks annoying to wear.
So it sits high up because once you get into the cart itself, right, you have the Mario hat thing here. On the cart attached is a visor that clips in to the hat.
And does it make your face look like Mario's face?
No. So what it basically it's doing, it's a screen. So when you're on the ride, you're seeing, you know, the turtles and the cart. And you're shooting them, and the way you aim is you're looking, you're using your head. I'm aiming over there, and then you're hitting the buttons on the steering wheel. So you're shooting your turtle shell there, and then you look over here. So that's how they kind of, because like, or else how are they going to do it where, you know, you got to get more people on the ride, essentially.
Right.
So you got to fit four people. How do you have four different people aiming different places, I guess? Right.
Right. So you got to, each person gets their own individual kind of view.
Yeah. And then you go through the track and different areas, and you get the Rainbow Road is really cool. I was having a blast on there, but I felt like it was kind of short. Like I was like, oh, I wish we were in this part longer.
Right.
But it was a good time. Me and Steph talk about it. We did that, came out. Of course, we went to the thrift store, the souvenir shop.
Did you get anything cool?
So I got the bracelet, right? This is your Mario slap band. It's a
slap bracelet.
Kind of a slap. It's half slap, so you can only half slap it.
But half slapper.
So they have coin blocks around the thing, and you go under and hit it like this, and it'll make the coin sound.
That's sick.
You scan it on the Mario ride, and it'll keep your score. There's other things you can unlock. You have to wait in line to like do it, and I didn't do that. Other than that, it doesn't do too much. It's an amiibo, right?
That's cool.
There's Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Princess Daisy, Toad, and Yoshi. But then they had a gold one that was like for the anniversary, so you could get the gold one.
That's cool.
So that was kind of neat. So I picked that up. It was kind of cool. What else did I get? I got a keychain for my keys right there.
Oh, I thought it said Skittles for a minute there. I was like, wait, what? That's cool.
I got a magnet set. Was kind of cool.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And then I just had gotten, what the heck is his name there? Yeah, Lakitu. But, I mean, obviously you could spend hundreds of dollars.
I can imagine it's just like a money drop.
It's like T-shirt. They had cool oversized hats. Like they had one I had the wife try on of the cheap, cheap fish, and you put it on your head and it had two little strings. And if you like squeeze them, the fish's like fins like flap.
Oh, that's fun.
So that was cool.
It's amazing what they make for marketing.
I know it. And obviously they have shops all throughout Universal. So if you are on the first floor, you can still shop up there as well for Mario stuff. Because we went in there, because I said everything's so condensed in the area because of how small it is. So I am very excited for when it finishes in Florida, because I believe it's going to be larger.
A bit better.
They're including a Donkey Kong area as well, like a Donkey Kong ride.
My chances of going to the one in Florida are a lot higher, unless I can talk Haley into us going out to LA next year to go to the, you know, Riff's show.
Right.
Because I told her like a week or two ago, I said, I'd like to go in the next year or two if it's possible. And she said, well, I'd like the kids to see California, so we'd probably make it a family affair. And plus, my son, he'll be like, next year he'll be 9. He would be at the perfect age to go see some of that stuff.
Yeah, like the takeaway me and Steph had, I said it was very difficult going with Gwen. Gwen's a year and a half because she wants to be running around. And in that area, it's hard to manage her because people aren't looking out for her, so she's gonna get trampled,
right?
And you still kind of have to hold her. And again, I said you can't bring strollers in there, so it's like
another big pain on that. The other thing is she's not gonna remember any of it at that age,
right absolutely.
So unfortunately,
but I'll have it all documented on video.
She could always watch it and maybe it'll spark something.
Yeah, And even we went to we did get into the Toad's Cafe and had some stuff there. And it being, again, so jam-packed, you wait in line to order the food, and then you literally have to get into another line to wait to get a table.
Was the food good?
So we got, Steph got a cheeseburger. I got the kids' burger meal. And then we got some garlic knots and a dessert. And the kids' meal thing I got, I'll do, again, a full review video as well. But,
cool.
I mean, the presentation is mostly right in the atmosphere that you're in. That's what you're paying for.
Right. Now, was Steph's burger better than yours?
Yes. Yes.
They gave you the kids' burger. Did you do it because of the price or because you weren't that hungry?
Yeah, price, and also you get, like, extra, you get these little, they put little flags in it.
You get, like a little toy because it's kitty.
Right. So Steph's burger is just like a regular burger, and they put a little mustache on there for Mario.
That's fun.
That's cool. But, you know, mine's like, you get like a couple stuff with it. So you get the burger, fries. Yeah. I got a little piece of corn and broccoli.
A little Mario.
And then we got the dessert was like the flagpole dessert. That was pretty fun. But all those little things, the poles and everything, they're like little plastic things that they give you.
So you had to keep them as like little souvenirs.
Right. So I still have like, you know, the Mario hat. You can use them almost as like style assist or something. Yeah. So I think that's a cool little takeaway for the kids. Other than that, you can get the some of the plateware you can purchase. The mushroom soup comes into a bowl that looks like the mushroom head. It has like a top container. So you pay $10 extra and you get to keep the bulb. And then a lot of stuff. I'm like, can we fit this in our luggage? I don't know. Probably right. Not. But definitely a fun experience to go there and enjoy it. Definitely more excited for the Florida one with having it more room and accessible. And again, I will say, like we brought up, I do feel like Universal is more geared towards adults or older children, where Disney is more accompanying with like, oh, you got a stroller, here's stroller parking, and
right
where you're at Universal, it's like you're on your own.
Right. Good luck. Have at it.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, it was long for sure.
Yeah, 11 like days.
And it's like the baby was, I think, ready to be home by then. It took her a bit to switch with the 3-hour time difference, and now we're back. We're trying to switch her back to the to that.
That's so a lot for a 1.5-year-old, yeah.
Yeah. She did sleep on the whole plane ride home.
Nice.
So that was good. So
my daughter cried the whole way from Minnesota to Greenville when we flew to Minnesota one time, and I was like, it was like, she was like 2.5, and I was like, oh my gosh. Everybody in the plane was like looking at us like, you brought a kid on a plane? Are you an idiot? And I'm like,
Well, we had quite a few other kids on the plane, and one was screaming, and then that. And when we landed to leave, we were getting up, the people behind us were like, oh, there was a baby over here? Like, we didn't even notice her at all. I was like, yep.
Russ's perfect child.
That's baby Gwen.
Sweet.
So that's what I've been up to. Other than that, we closed on our house when we got back.
There you go.
Today was the day we ended up signing our documents. So that was a whole nother thing going on. So we now own the house, and we will start.
Let the process begin. Right. Doing all that stuff.
We got all our renovations we want to do, and we're hoping maybe moved in. I don't know. I'm thinking at least a month, maybe a month and a half. It could be. It's all everything literally from now is going to be up in the air. Okay, right. How long does the electrician take? How long does this take?
Right.
When can we sell the condo and move some of that stuff? So lots going on. So
you're thinking like August, September at the latest, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely should be in by then.
Cool, man. Well, that'll be exciting. I'm excited to see what all you guys do with that. And definitely looking forward to at some point coming and visiting, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be sick.
Sweet. That was a pretty long War Pipe Wednesday, so
that's all right. We made up for being gone last week.
I know. So if you guys enjoy it, be sure to check out our full episodes every Saturday for the weekly War Pipe. You can check out theweeklywarpipe.com. That has all our episodes in case you are doing a backlog and you want to check out past episodes. That'd be a great place to check out there. Call into the show and leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you guys. 949-682-9277. That's 949-682-WARP. Big shout out to our Patreons. Support the show. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Lindengood, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retroholic 16, and Austin Mills. Guys, rock, support the show. Get head over to patreon.com/Russ Lyman if you want to do that. If not, just watching here is great as well.
Leave us a review if you haven't.
Leave us a review if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, and leave a comment if you're on YouTube. Yeah,
that's right.
Helps push the podcast out.
Tell us how gorgeous we are.
Help our egos. Well, thanks so much for jumping into the warp pipe with us. We'll see you in the next retro adventure.
That's right.